The following program is a JWC Media production for WrestleChat.net and CLW83.com. This edition of the NAWC is
uncensored.
For 7 years.
7 years.
300 episodes and counting.
300 episodes.
The North American Wrestling Connection.
The NAWC.
Professional wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net proudly present the NAWC. Bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned this week by...
Why do you three continue to ignore the orders of the director?
Now, let me ask you a question. Do we look like ponies?
Nope.
Do we look like ponies to you? Would you try and make us prance around in a little circle?
Nope.
No. Because we're Mustangs. Wild Mustangs! We run wild!
Bet y'all think you're Wonderbolt material, don't ya?
What are you looking at, pony? Huh? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Look at this mane. This is full-grown thoroughbred mane right here, boy.
Ooh, I'd hate to be you right now, because Iron Will is going to rain down a world of hurt unless Iron Will gets his money! Pronto!
Hey, look, enough of the horse, the pony, the Mustang. Tom's clearly a unicorn.
Of all the worst things that could happen, this is the worst of things!
Can I be a Pegasus? Can I get wings and, like, flop around? Fly half go?
As one fandom will start slowly infecting another. The Shield will never admit it openly. We have photographic evidence of Goldust and Sheamus, as we have already done so with Big E and Xavier Woods. Surprisingly, this shouldn't be news, but pony. Welcome once again, ladies and gentlemen, to the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman. And who the hell showed up tonight? Anyone?
Well, it's Jason Block here.
Ah, the man who takes a bite out of the Big Apple. Thank you for sticking.
Absolutely. I think we have somebody from Florida, Chris Waters.
Wow, I'm becoming a regular here. I'm not used to that.
And I gotta do this in the proper order. I think my fourth is fourth.
And it feels very strange that your uncle is no longer the most hated individual in wrestling in 2014.
He's trying. He really is. But it's, you know, he keeps jumping back and forth. Oh, yeah. And I added an extra chair at the table here for birthday boy here, Tyler Brown.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo. Happy birthday.
I'd like to announce that the WWE, after watching... last night's Legends House has given me booking privileges for next year's WrestleMania. It's going to be Roddy Piper versus a modern blender with Hacksaw Jim Duggan as a special referee.
This is what happens when you have a dozen punch-drunk 50-plus-year-old men in the same house at the same time. And it's definitely more entertaining than a bunch of 20 half-drunk 20-somethings. So.
And by the way, Nikki, just to let you know on something, and I want to just start off on something. If you have not bought the WWE Network, first of all, what are you thinking? Okay. Second of all, this week, the WWE Network really has shown its what it can do, like its potential, I think.
Big time. You speak of Warrior Week.
Not only Warrior Week, WrestleMania 30 Fallout.
Okay.
and also that wonderful, universally praised Daniel Bryan behind the scenes documentary.
Oh, hell yes on that one.
Absolutely. I approve of the documentary. I apologize that I cannot comment on Fallout or even the Warrior stuff due to other obligations. However, the one thing that had me the most intrigued about Warrior Week was just the input of a man called Sting.
Dun dun dun.
The internet rumors are lighting up.
That big sound of roaring you hear is the rumor mill spinning around really fast.
Oh, hi, hey, Ethan.
So, yeah, hey, Ethan.
Ethan, I know.
I apologize, Ethan. I didn't even see you come in. Please grab a chair.
That's okay. I was too busy laughing my ass off over that intro.
And you can guess that Jim is halfway across Pennsylvania by now. So.
Well, I think CM Waters put it right in the Facebook group. Papa, Oscar, November, India, Echo, Sierra, ponies.
Yes, for all of our Brony listeners, please YouTube Ponies of Justice and enjoy that intro as well. Due to circumstances beyond our control, bigger events in wrestling, I have been sitting on that Shield promo for a while because I so wanted to put that up there. Then it gets exacerbated when a Twitter picture is put out of Goldust kissing a Pinkie Pie plushie.
Perfect pairing right there.
That's Goldie.
That's a normal day in Goldust's life, isn't it?
Well, it's a normal day in Pinkie's life if one of her other friends is Deadpool.
Right.
Okay.
The other picture that came out is a picture of Sheamus handing over a Pinkie plushie to the target audience. You're welcome, Jim.
She gave it to a 34-year-old? Oh, wait.
No! She must have been no longer older than 5.
The best comment I've seen for this picture was the most hilarious wedding proposal ever.
Very cool.
So I'm thinking this was a make a wish deal, but I'm not sure. I honestly do not know.
Rumor is that it was. Oh, and by the way, and again, another thing that was kind of circled around was this picture, which again was not recent, but still fun, of John Cena doing a tea party for a Make a Wish, which was also very cool.
Yeah, it's recent, but not like in the last week or so. He's wearing his Even Stronger shirt. He didn't have his You Can't Stop Me shirt.
Yes, so. but yes, he was sipping tea with a Make a Wish kid. There you go.
Yeah.
Sounds cool to me.
No. You know, we all dog on Cena for where he is on the card and what he's done. But you cannot deny everything else that he does for the Fed. So, you know, I do not fault him. Now, the network did a lot with Warrior Week with several specials, but it's the one thing that a lot of people might not have seen, and that was a big thank you letter from the missus.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a heart-wrenching one. It kind of made me tear up when I saw it.
Broke my heart.
I'm not gonna read this. You just go look for this because, essentially, you know, we had heard that the Fed had sent some people to go help the surviving Warrior family with odds and ends. We're pretty sure. that his contract was going to be fulfilled anyway to the surviving family, but little things, running errands, keeping an eye on the kids, you know, getting little stuff done and trying to get life back to some semblance of normal, which is next to impossible in the wrestling business, regardless of which side of the ropes you're on.
And this is the stuff that people, and I'm going to, like a certain reporter on HLN, whose name I will not mention, doesn't get. Okay?
No.
This is the stuff that Vince McMahon and Stephanie and Triple H should be applauded for.
Yes, but remember, good news doesn't sell soap.
That's unfortunately true.
Can we just stuff some down her throat, shove her down a flight of stairs, and call it a day?
No. I took care of this, but I'll do it again just to make sure.
Okay. And how long is she going to be there for?
Oh, quite a while, I'm sure. I think I've got a better time frame.
Forever!
There we go.
Thank you.
That's true. I should have probably had her dragged in before I closed the door on her.
Twilight, get my rope.
But yeah, that was heartbreaking. That was released after the very cool Warrior tribute, which I saw on Monday Night Raw after my religious obligations this week.
So, but I will do this much, and I realize I typically don't promote until the end of the show, but I'm going to do this anyway. In lieu of donations to the Warrior family or sending flowers, you please make your donations to the wounded veterans and their families at www.operationfamilyfund.org. This is what the family, the rest of the Warrior family wants. Financially, they are sound. And flowers only last a week. Your donations to this website will help a lot more people who need it. So, let's see. Oh, yeah, speaking of the chick that we just kicked in there. Oh, Forth, that's a great idea. If I was ever brave enough to let her out, I'd like to have her sit down with my dear Uncle Paul for 15 minutes to see if she'd survive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He would verbally walk up one side and down the other of her and render her to tears if she doesn't have her, if she doesn't demand that security haul him out for being right.
Are we sure she didn't have her tear ducts removed so she could be a soulless robot?
I moving on.
Yes.
Monday night, as Jason mentioned, they did a wonderful tribute to the Warrior. They had an awesome video package. Everybody was wearing a Warrior shirt. The Usos did their Samoan SWAT team makeup Warrior style. And I think just about everybody came out for their matches in a Warrior shirt.
One thing I noticed during the opening segment is that Natalya and Cody Rhodes really took it the hardest when you looked at them.
I'm guessing Cody and Warrior had some time together when Dusty was in there in the early 90s.
And Natty would have known him through Anvil, I think.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, this is a guy they grew up with, literally. And a lot closer to, you know, us, obviously. We had some developments, and as we're inching towards Extreme Rules, Although I find it interesting that so far there is not the matches that have been announced for Extreme Rules so far, none of them have stipulations. One of them, I understand, we're not going to get a stipulation. Paige, our current Divas champion, will be facing Tamina Snuka.
See, that's where I would put a stipulation. They would put a steel cage match, so see if Tamina tries to pull off the same thing her dad did.
You know what? People would pay the actual pay-per-view money for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And Tamina would do it. I really think Tamina would do it. Now, curious by her absence, insert CM Punk joke here, AJ was permitted some much-needed time off. So she wasn't at TV this week. And, you know, my thought was they asked her if she needed a break, and she said, yes, I do. And they said, well, could you do us a favor and ask your fiancé a couple questions for us? Anyway.
Like, please, pretty please, pretty please, can you come and fight Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam? That'd be nice.
we'll pay you. We'll give you exposure. We'll try to do the ice cream bars thing again. We promise. And what else should we offer him?
The main event of WrestleMania, so that he can retire. That he wants. Like he wants. Because his body's beat to shit.
Yeah.
No offense.
No. It's been put out there, you know, that Punk did this because he is beat to hell.
Yeah, Foley mentioned that recently in an interview too.
That's the one I was looking for.
Yeah.
And let me see if I can find that, because this was actually really, really, a really insightful article, and I saw it on.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, I think I have it here. Just give me one second, because yeah, here it is. This is what he says. Yes, the response to this is what Mick Foley posted on his Facebook page. He said, yes, the response to that funny photo of CM Punk on a milk carton was incredible. While I respect everyone's opinion as long as it is given in a respectful way, I have to disagree with those out there who find great fault in Punk's simply walking away. I am kind of like a ghost that drifts in and out of WWE, but in my past 3 years of drifting, I've never been to a WWE event where Punk was not in considerable pain. Ice packs, heating pads, and visits to the trainer were as much a part of his daily routine as eating, sleeping, and wrestling. Performing at that level and that degree of pain was only possible when accompanied by the passion that turned an unlikely indie kid into one of the greatest WWE superstars of his generation. Once that passion's gone, then so are all the things that made him great. I know what it feels like to go through the motions and to do what needs to be done solely for the paycheck. It's not pretty, and though I've not talked to Punk since the night before he left, I have to believe he has too much respect for what he does to let people see him go through the motions. If or when that day comes when CM Punk returns to WWE, I hope it's with that same passion that made so many of you care about him to begin with. On the money. Bingo.
Yes. And if anybody knows anything about playing through pain, I think we found the right guy.
Now, him saying that also makes me think, how is Daniel Bryan going to be? Because he kind of is in the same mold of putting all his heart into it night in and night out, performing at that level every time he's there.
Well, he's so, right now relaxing, to speak.
Yeah, this week he got the week off to practice his yes with his Bella.
Yeah. He just has to be careful she's not in Brie mode at the moment.
So, something that is interesting, and take this, I will take this with a grain of salt. I know no DDT DQ.com is usually, you know, fairly, you know, usually somebody you can bank on. But notes included from Monday's script. Punk was listed under the miscellaneous category as injured to be determined. This also was for age, also listed for AJ and Rey Mysterio. Summer Rae, we now might have a solution to the mystery. We were joking that Summer Rae broke up with Fandango to go back to NXT to be with her BFFs. But apparently she's off shooting a movie, and so is The Miz.
Hopefully not together.
I hope not either. And I would like Miz to reprise his role from the Scooby-Doo movie. Where, if you haven't seen it, he spent most of the night in bandages. Thank you.
Well, let's hope they're not doing it together, because if Summer Rae does end up getting together with him, then she's going to become Mrs. Miz.
No, Maurice would have something to say about that.
I would pay to see that match. And I know a lot of men would pay to see that match for different reasons.
Let's see. Summer Rae versus Maurice. A Miz on a pole match. There we go. Perfect ratings.
Miz would be on a pole. Anyway.
He would just have a pole, right?
Thus.
I was...
Sorry.
No, I'm not going for any rim shot, but I was hoping for more like the crane a la Judy Bagwell.
just to have him hanging from something with his hands tied... Just shaking his head going, really? 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 So.
One thing that's interesting about the leaked script that you looked at was apparently some of the promo that John Cena had was changed from that script to what actually aired on the show, so...
Oh, I didn't go all the way through the script. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they actually pretty much write out all of what Cena's supposed to say during it, and apparently it's been changed from what aired on TV.
I'm not gonna dig it up right now. I'm not terribly worried about it.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Surprisingly, is with people complaining about what Cena said. The original script wasn't that much better, if not worse.
So, we to kill some time on the show. I think Raw and SmackDown were slightly padded just because we had a few people missing. Because we had a handful of people going to Saudi Arabia. And I don't have the list in front of me. I neglected to write it down. But one of the people they had to put on this group was Sami Zayn. And Jason, I know you love crowing about this, but I'm going to steal your thunder on this one.
Go for it. All good.
They did an event in Riyadh. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
No, you got it on the money. It's Riyadh.
In Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and Sami was given a microphone. Being Syrian by heritage, Mexican by wrestling, and Canadian by residence, he addressed the crowd in Arabic. And that got a hell of a pop. Kind of like Pat Patterson speaking French in Montreal.
Mm. And the funny thing is that event was for all men because women were not allowed to go to the event, strangely enough. I do have the results of that, actually, if you're interested. And you know who Sami Zayn fought? Cesaro in Saudi Arabia.
I want my multilingual promo! I want that multilingual promo so bad.
Mm. So the people who were on the show were the Usos, Ryback, Goldust, Keith Slater, Cesaro, Sami Zayn, Sheamus, Damian Sandow, The Shield, Ambrose, Cody Rhodes. Wow!
And
Kofi
the fact that you listed Ambrose separate of The Shield.
Well, no, because Ambrose is for Rhodes, Kingston, and Ziggler in a title match, because The Shield also defeated the Wyatt family probably in a tag match. That's probably the other two, mm-hmm. I'm guessing. You know, Reigns and Rollins fighting, you know.
Yeah,
Orton defeated Mark Henry, and then Cena pinned Bray Wyatt. So, there you go. Those are the people who are out there, and they've in Saudi Arabia, and they're probably flying back right now as we speak.
And not all are 100%. Thoughts and prayers out to Little Nate, who sliced up his thumb in the process of getting the ring set up, and nearly lost his thumb over it.
Yuck.
The pictures are graphic. Do not look these up.
I plan not to.
The close-ups are too close up for me to tell you whether or not it is his counting hand or not. So, I shall not speculate. To add some hilarity to Main Event and a SmackDown...
Oh, my God.
Since Heath Slater was the only one from 3MB they were willing to send overseas and not Jinder.
Interesting.
I'm curious about that. Somebody stole Heath Slater's stuff, ran it through the dryer, and handed it to Hornswoggle.
Oh.
So we got the Dufosity on Main Event of Los Matadores and El Torito versus the 2.5-man band.
Two and a half men.
And in the process, I think all of the adults got nut-shotted out of the ring so that that Hornswoggle and Torito could go at it. Well, they decided they'd set him up with a formal match on SmackDown.
The commentary
was epic.
I'm sorry, Nikki. I apologize.
The commentary of this was epic. Go find this match and just listen to it. You don't even have to watch it. Just listen to Michael Cole and JBL calling this match like a freaking WrestleMania Undertaker match.
And crapping on it at the same time, which is really, it really takes a talent. And Nikki, you'll have to agree with me on this, that they were calling the match as straight as they can, but they were just dumping on it. It was terrible.
They're all people are standing. Everybody's on their toes.
Yeah, heading to the concession stand. Yeah,
any Max commentary that can reference King Kong Bundy is okay with me.
Yes. Add to this the fact that they had Bad News Barrett talk about the match afterward,
and JBL praised him, and Cole's like, but he just dumped on a match you said you liked.
Now, why wasn't this for the Cruiserweight title, though?
Because Hornswoggle left it at the end of the rainbow.
In Shane McMahon's bag with the European title, right?
Anyway. Oh, what else did we have?
Toys R Us.
What?
Hold on, I'll type it in the chat.
Oh, no. Oh, I know, I heard you. Okay, yeah, speaking, the other Dufosity included a Toys R Us commercial. For those of you with Instagram, go take your picture with WWE merchandise and post it with a specific, I forget the hashtag.
And I think it's TRU Superstar.
something like that, and you can register to win a $1,000 Toys R Us gift card, which means Jim could buy me all the pony he could possibly think of.
He could buy all of us, not just you.
That's true. That's very true. And I would make him buy me a Ponyopoly set.
I would get it.
There's a Ponyopoly?
Yes.
There was a My Little Pony Monopoly. And soon to be a My Little Pony Life.
Okay.
ToyWiz.com is carrying it. The full game is $40. And you could also buy loose pieces. So I bought the dice and the playing pieces. Mainly because I'm probably never going to have a house full big enough to actually play the game with the group. Anyway,
or anybody who wants to play Monopoly for a long time.
Mainly because I am very good at Monopoly.
So you're an opposite.
Oh, really?
A Heyman with a game with money?
Wow!
Them's fighting words, Water.
Moving back to the commercial.
Right.
Yes, back to commercial before we start fighting over Atlantic City.
I'd start with Boardwalk. Anyway, the commercial's pretty basic. A mother and son are shopping for figures, and Seamus appears out of nowhere, asks the kid to find him his figure. Kid hands him his figure. Big E comes around the corner and he's got an armload of Big E figures, and they're both saying that they're gonna win the gift card. Now I'm the one saying, no, wait a minute, you guys work for WWE. Can you even enter the contest?
And saying, why were they allowed in the store when they're not wearing shirts?
You gonna stop those guys?
Well, that's true.
I'm sorry, Big E's got, you know, charisma in places where most people don't have muscles, and he's got muscles in places if most people don't have places. And skipping obligatory Seamus's Irish joke. Anyway, the mother comes up with a different point, takes a third option. She says, I don't think you guys can win holding your own toys. Cue mad scramble while they try to trade. So yes, once again proving my theory that wrestlers, all wrestlers, are doofuses. Oh dear, what else have I got in here? Oh yes. Yeah, you should talk about that. Excuse me, I am so sorry. Raging against a machine makes one tired. Okay. I should talk a bit about Big E and the fact that he is a fighting champion. And so they've set up an 8-man tournament to determine who will face him at Extreme Rules for his title. RVD defeated Del Rio.
Yay. Cesaro.
Yes, I'm quite happy about that. Cesaro defeated Mark Henry. And why do I not...
So there goes plans of cupcakes on the Intercontinental title belt.
That's all right. Mark Henry will drown his sorrows in other ways. And I don't have the other two matches on here, or maybe I'm just not remembering.
Ziggler lost to Barrett.
Okay.
And Sheamus beat...
Swagger.
Swagger, thank you.
Okay. So, yeah, the semis will be on this coming Raw. And I'm just trying to figure out who in the world, out of these four, you know, personally, you know, the best I can say is I think that they're going to find a way to move it, to get it over to Cesaro despite the cheers. And people would pay a lot of money to see Cesaro swing Big E.
Indeed, the smart money is on the man who's now christened the King of Swing.
And once again, my uncle proves to the world how how talented he is on the microphone, the fact that he has rubbed it in our faces that he was part of the reason the streak was broken. 20 minutes later, he can walk out with Cesaro and they cheer.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I don't think he elucidated it enough for us. Did his client beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania?
I don't know.
Undertaker, I mean.
I don't know. I mean, I thought there was something wrong with my DVR. It got stuck for a couple of minutes while he kept saying it.
Wow.
To the point that even the commentators used to say, do you think Brock Lesnar broke the streak? I don't know. So, you know, I was good on that. Our main event. The evil boss, Dr. Levescu, is not happy that his Hounds of Justice aren't playing nice anymore. So he was going to punish them. He puts them in the main event. Oh, I'm dying. Then they send out 11 jobbers.
Jinder Mahal makes the main event of Raw.
To which I said, they're going to need more people. Because the Shield still has them outnumbered. And I was proven correct. Until I heard Lemmy's Golden Pipes announce the rest of the competitors.
That's right. There was more than one.
There was an evil boss with an animal and a viper.
Nature Boy had to be smiling.
Or crying in his beer because he wasn't invited.
If he was sober enough to watch.
Thus. But actually, Flair isn't needed here because this makes it absolutely perfect. We have a 3-on-3 that's going to be set up for Extreme Rules. No stipulation, but I'm going to speculate and I'll go around the table real quick. I'm speculating that this will get a stipulation and it'll be a street fight.
Yeah, pretty much. Because remember, you want to have something that is, of course, sizzling as part of the steak. You know, the steak is the match, the sizzle is the stip. And remember, you know, you want to have something fun and just, you know, plunder with these guys, with all six of them, is going to be great.
Because Hunter is always fun when he's allowed to have a weapon in his hand, whether it be a chair, his sledgehammer, or a shovel. And if a shovel shows up in this match, I almost want to play that as my wild card. Ambrose ain't afraid to bleed. Rollins, I don't think, is afraid to bleed either. I don't know if they'll let him. And Reigns,
I don't think they want him to bleed to make him look as tough as he can.
Just give me 5 minutes of him and Batista slugging it out. Seriously. And Batista slugging it out, or him and Hunter slugging it out.
Now, the thing about this match is there is two ways I can see it. One, I can see the street fight thing. The other way is that they'll add two more participants, one on each side. One being a certain remasked monster, and the other being a certain bearded champion.
Depends. No, actually, that's going to be a whole separate match. They've kind of speculated on that. And thank you for reminding me of this segment, that Stephanie decided to start poking the Hellhound.
Before we get to that, there's a third way I see the Shield Triple H Shield Evolution match going.
How's that?
A certain fluid inside a pool match.
No. No. That would favor Randy Orton too much.
Baby oil.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But
I had to get that out there. Sorry.
No, you're. Yeah,
it's all right. But wow. No. But you're right. Because the monster got poked.
And poked and prodded, and beaten about the head and neck, and a few other things. I wish I had a sound effect that would go with this. I mean, I had already said that Kane as a middle manager was monster enough, but apparently that's not the monster they needed. She wanted the one that Tombstone's priests sets her brother's testicles on fire with a battery. Ow!
It's an unhealthy fascination with torturing Pete Rose.
And setting random people and objects on fire.
Including a guy who loves barbecue.
Like I said, random people and objects. Because I know he set JR on fire. He set a random stagehand on fire.
And he started a grill on that Great American Bash SmackDown that they had one time. That was great.
And the fact that he was working as a... he's working as a cafeteria chef in Slam City. Thank you. So, I think that between the Slam City stuff, the Scooby-Doo movie, and a few other things, they had to come up with an excuse to get Kane to put his mask back on.
And honestly, people were not necessarily buying corporate Kane, per se. You know.
Yeah. I still love, though, when Kane's just opening up the box and he was just pretty much staring right at that mask.
And it's just, you know, it's cheesy, it's corny, but it's Kane.
Like, if anyone can make it work, it is him.
Yeah. Kane can make anything work. I mean, he made a feud with spilled coffee.
The only thing he couldn't make work was a cheerleader mannequin.
That wasn't entirely his fault. And he didn't want to make that work. And I don't think anybody who was involved wanted to make that work. And that includes Hunter.
Right.
I mean, that was just... You don't... There's just some things you don't do in wrestling.
I keep this guy employed forever.
VRM said he was going to try to packet trace this guy, and we still haven't heard anything. Let me see what the GM has to say. Actually, it would help if I looked on the correct device.
I say by show 400, we got to find out who this guy is.
Working on it. The GM says, and I quote, WWE is copying us since we decided to update our logo. Now they're updating theirs.
Time.
Well, they needed something. They did need something cleaner. I'm still not sold on the new logo, but I understand. You were also so starstruck about Sting being in the Warrior Specials. You didn't say anything about Jericho. Shame on me. Do not forget your obligatory discussions about TNA, and you actually have something Ring of Honor related to speak of. Yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. Also, don't forget about the Magic Million. No, that's Mania Million. You got to watch your autocorrect there, GM.
I wish I had a Magic Million. We all did. Oh, man.
Could one of us just have it so that we could split it? And do something with it? anyway.
Let's ask Vince McMahon. Maybe he can give away some more.
No, because he doesn't want the set falling on him again.
or getting Rickrolled on TV.
He never understood what that was. And that was just magic. That I've never, if somebody trolled Vince McMahon, I'm proud. So let me see what else I can do for this show. The restrooms are unlocked, the vending machines are plugged in, and yes, the other one's fixed. This is why Gene hasn't been on the show the last couple of weeks. Long story. Anyway, whoever's engineering tonight, cue up some commercials. We'll be back in a few minutes with more news.
How many websites do you use to get your daily dose of wrestling news and views? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net. Franklin Daniel and his staff bring you the most comprehensive wrestling headlines all day, every day. Plus, WrestleChat brings you informative and entertaining podcasts like the Still Real to Us Show, the Bauer Show Podcast, and the North American Wrestling Connection each and every week. For up-to-date wrestling news and insightful wrestling views, there's only one site to turn to, and that's WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source.
The odds of becoming the next president of the United States are about 1 in 10 million. The odds of a high school baseball player being drafted by a Major League Baseball team are about 1 in 200. The odds of having a child born with autism in your family are 1 in 68. Hi, I'm Jim Williams. April's Autism Awareness Month, we at CLW83 are doing our part to help, and we ask that you do your part to help too. Simply go to CLW83.com and click on the Autism Speaks banner on the homepage to learn more about what autism is and, if you're compelled, to make a donation to this worthwhile organization. Once again, go to CLW83.com, click on the Autism Speaks banner on our homepage, and if you have a few bucks, please make a donation. Who knows? That donation, no matter how big or small, may lead to another breakthrough. Perhaps the very breakthrough that finds a cure for autism.
Hey, future body changers, it's me, John Cena. Think of your favorite food right now. What is it? Pastry, ice cream, cookies, beer, pizza, whatever it is. What would you say if I told you you could lose weight and eat your favorite foods? Well, you can. With the 10 weeks body change program for one day a week, you can eat as much of your favorite foods as you want. You heard it from me. And the rest of the 6 days of the week, you have a huge selection of foods to choose from that'll help you lose weight. Here's the kick. You can eat as much of those foods as you want to. No craving, no starving, just losing. It is officially change time.
You love your pets, so you keep them healthy by buying expensive supplements. Unfortunately, your pets don't like to take the supplements. You've tried hiding pills in food and forced it down, only for them to spit it back out. There has to be a better way. Pause 5. Two quick, delicious peppermint sprays in your pet's mouth for a full day. Protecting them 5 ways. Coat and skin, teeth and nails, joints, eyes, and immune system. No more forcing pills down your pet's mouth. You would spend over $200 buying these supplements individually. Or Pause 5 for under $35 includes all 5 supplements in one. Order online and receive free shipping anywhere in the U.S. www.pause5.com.
We'll be right back.
And we're back on the North American Wrestling Connection, is sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with Jason Block, Chris Waters, Forth, and Ethan Muslin. Ethan, you know, you can jump in at any time.
Oh, I will. I like to enjoy listening to the hilarity as well.
Well, then settle in, because it is now time for my obligatory discussion of TNA.
But I'm sucks. Let's go on.
Attaboy. Actually, let me pull up some. I do want to pull up something that I've been following on a wonderful place called the Freaking Awesome Network. A commentary about EY as champion. And yes, Dave Meltzer himself has weighed in on this. And this is another one of those things that I wish Tom Delgado was here so that I could read this to him just to see how long he would last before he would start laughing. Now, Meltzer tends to not sugarcoat things, and him and Mike Johnson are pretty much, you know, pretty much the same when it comes to stuff like this. So allow me. With all due respect to Young as a performer, the idea of him as a world champion is not only a joke because the title has been a joke for some time. It's more pathetic that they copied the Daniel Bryan WrestleMania scenario right down to the injured shoulder, using the guy with the beard, winning a match, coming back later, and taking the title. It came across as pathetic. Young was selling he had a shoulder problem, well, because WWE scripted last week that Bryan came out of his first match with a shoulder problem. I mean, they couldn't look more low rent. People may want to blame whoever for this, but John Gabrick is the guy in charge of creative, and ultimately it's his direction. You really can't expect anything different because Gabrick was a Kevin Dunn friend from Baltimore who only knows WWE and nothing else. It's pretty much impossible to be the alternative and different when you only know one system. Young said he's just another fan, and this is proof that if people tell you you can't do something, that you shouldn't listen to them. Or you should work for an incompetent company.
Hmm.
The little bits that I've heard, you know, since I don't watch TNA, it's sad that it has to be, you know, it has to be like that. I think one of the better jokes was that Dixie Carter saw it on WrestleMania and said, "Hey, can we do that?"
Well, here's the interesting thing. Supposedly they're going to have him hold the belt for a couple of months because they want to cross promote with his what is it? The Animal Planet show called Off the Hook. Or whatever. It's called Off the Hook that he's hosting. Okay. So they want to keep it on board that. But it just seems to me, and I've watched this, for a guy who is as talented as EY is, don't get me wrong, EY is a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that when you look at this and you see all these Xeroxes, it comes out. And a friend of mine in the business, who we've interviewed before that I'm not going to name now, said it to me this way. TNA is copying WWE poorly, but WWE is copying TNA much better and doing it better with NXT. So, there you go.
It's a shame that, you know, this, I agree, because I am a fan. I've been a fan of Eric Young. I've had the honor of meeting him. He was very gracious to me. I met him during the Don't Fire Eric arc back in 06 and offered him a job if indeed he got fired. He says, "Oh, are you hiring?" And anybody who's interested, Bound for Glory 06, look in the crowd for a doofus holding up a sign that says, "I'll hire Eric."
Was that you? Were you the doofus in question?
I was the doofus in question.
Uh-huh. That's cool.
My Dufosity also got two other signs on the show, but I will stop bragging right now. Mainly because I don't want to talk too long about TNA, because I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Uh oh.
Cue rising podium.
Oh, but before you give the bad news, you actually do have to talk about the fact that TNA are locking people in.
To make sure that Jeff Jarrett can't steal them is my theory. A lot of talent that, you know, WWE hasn't shown interest in, TNA has locked them into long-term deals, probably taking pay cuts in the process. Now, guys like Rockstar Spud, I fully expect. But James Storm? I would think that, you know, Hunter would be blowing up his phone if he left.
Gunner, too, by the way.
Yeah.
I have to think with Storm that Triple H is just trying to wait the clock out on TNA. Almost just more of a punishment to TNA rather than to Storm. That's the only thing I can think of.
So, you know, it's also kind of a punishment, but it's kind of a punishment to the TNA talent because you know they're all taking pay cuts for these longer term deals that might not even get paid.
Yeah.
Somebody pulled up an interesting parallel that, you know, trying this quote-unquote fresh direction, was it about the, you know, if this was about the same time as, say, Bash at the Beach, when Russo came out and told Hogan where he could go with his title, and then we're going to have the real title match. WCW was gone within 7 or 8 months. So, mark your calendars for November, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll see if TNA makes it that far. Now, where to next? I kind of want to stay with the indie stuff because we've actually really got a couple of things to talk about. Actually, no, I will go back to WWE on one thing. I mentioned a Magic Million. Every year, the measuring stick for WrestleMania's success is if they get a million households. Well, usually it takes them, you know, usually it takes some of the overseas numbers to get that million. Some years it does, some years it doesn't. This being an anniversary, they should be aiming a little bit higher than even that. The info from WWE proper announced that they reached their million households in the U.S. alone via the network and pay-per-view combined. Over 600,000 network subscribers and then nearly 400,000 domestic pay-per-view buyers. Now, this number might be slightly inflated, Forth, because we know that a few people tried to sign up for the trial and got charged anyway.
That's certainly intriguing to me. That's news to me.
Well, with just these numbers, having 600,000 quote-unquote buys for Mania, WWE has moved up their projections of getting their first million people by the end of 2014. Jason, we discussed this the other day. I don't think that's a smart idea.
What do you don't think is a smart idea specifically?
The aiming for that 1 million subscribers by the end of this year. I agree that the content, both new and available, is very good.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already given us a few very, very big surprises, and that the fact that we've got pre-show and post-show stuff. But I'm curious to see what's going to happen in August.
Right. Yes. Oh, that's what you meant. Yeah. In other words, you think they may be counting chickens at the moment?
I think they are, because if with any new program, with any new anything, you're going to have insane numbers to start for curiosity, diehards, etc. But then things taper off, and I'm going to use a very, very interesting example.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the XFL.
Ah, yes.
The okay, no, I can. Chris, just watch this, because as a Orlando Rage season ticket holder, I can prove it.
Yeah. And who's doing the keyboard, please?
Who's Morse coding? We don't need that right now.
It's a pop-up showed up.
No, you're fine. The first game, the first Orlando Rage game at the Citrus Bowl, they didn't have enough security for the people that for the amount of people that showed up. They were turning people away. By the end of the season, it only took us 20 minutes to get home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think it's going to be that big of a drop-off when it comes to the network. But I still think they need to really watch their step.
Right. But also, you said that this is happening in August when the renewals start, right?
Correct.
Well, August, remember, is the build to SummerSlam. So they'll have they've been making SummerSlam like almost their WrestleMania 2, pretty much.
Which is kind of a brilliant idea. I mean, you bookmark the two commitment dates before the absolute biggest event of the year in WrestleMania, and the second biggest, which is SummerSlam. That's actually very smart.
Business-wise, no, that's extremely yeah. smart, and I applaud that.
Plus, they also said they're saving that Monday Night Wars show, which would be a show that a lot of people might have been getting the network for anyway, until the summer. So I'm thinking maybe when they do the second subscription stuff, they'll start putting that, or put it just like right before to give you a taste of it, and then if you want to watch more of it, you have to continue on.
Right. So no, trust me, I have faith in WWE's business model, and I have even more faith in the firmware that's gone into this after having, you know, zero issues with Mania and a couple of hiccups with the Hall of Fame. And knowing that if they could take that load for Mania, then the rest of the pay-per-views are going to be a breeze. So, Force, did you have something?
No, nothing at the moment.
Okay. Something else. Oh, yes. The pretty, pretty, pretty logo that WWE has cooked up that has been used as the logo of the network. Stephanie McMahon herself has spoken up that this logo will be all-inclusive to all WWE products and programming by SummerSlam. Personally, given how fast they got the F out, I'm surprised it isn't already done with everything they have now.
My biggest guess is maybe they're waiting for a pretty, pretty belt to debut around SummerSlam.
That's true. The man ring's going to need an update, isn't it?
All of them are going to need an update. Although, to be fair, that when they switched from the block to the scratch, it took them quite a while to switch the logo on the belts as well.
Okay. So, yeah.
But I'm also thinking they're saving it by SummerSlam, because you know how they always do that. The SummerSlam access, and they always have the first unveilings of the next WWE game at SummerSlam.
That's true.
Yeah, that'll be the perfect place to debut it, right on the box of 2K15.
Now you're thinking. Okay. Give me a second here. There's something I wanted to look up. just because. Oh, come on, where is it? Just some geeky kind of stuff for you. And just for the listening audience, if they want to update the belt, one of the ideas could be that they make it out of Legos.
Oh, boy. Hold on. Let me see this.
That would be one hell of a thing if someone attacked someone with that belt and shattered into a million pieces.
Yes! Boom! You attack him with the belt.
And then you slam him on the Legos.
Ow! 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 That would make me fully cringe. We all know that pain too well.
The second most deadly weapon in wrestling next to sprinkles.
Yes.
Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose would probably have to hesitate for a minute, and I'm pretty sure he's going on to thumbtacks.
Yeah, exactly.
Trust me, he's been on worse.
But yes, that is geek, and I love it. That's great.
And to double geek, my response was, shut up and take my money in the bank.
Oh my God, really?
I'm not a Futurama fan, but that's funny.
Yes, that is. Yes, that's Fry. Holy shit! Oh wow. Okay, I like that. Very nice. Okay,
so now that I've gone a little bit off topic, let me get back over to my stuff here. It's not often that I talk about Ring of Honor, and I should talk about them more because they are going to be doing the world a service. Now, DirecTV has seen the writing on the wall when it comes to pay-per-views and have decided that WWE, if you're going to show your pay-per-views, go ahead and show your pay-per-views.
All right, fuck you.
And they'll just, you know. Dish Network balked, though that could change down the line. So Ring of Honor is like, well, everybody's going to iPay-per-view and they got better shit than we do. So maybe, you know what? Let's try to do actual pay-per-view. And they're gonna start this with their Best in the World event on June 22nd. It will be available for $24.95 in standard definition and slightly more for HD. I would pay that.
Yes.
Shut up and take my money, okay? You got people like Jay Lethal, Kevin Steen, Adam Cole, the Briscoes. Really? Let's do this.
And some of the better indie managers in Truth Martini, and I think, is Prince Nana still down there?
Prince Nana is down there. Let me talk about who they wanted, who they say is gonna be involved with this pay-per-view. I know Maria Kanellis and her fiance Mike Bennett are gonna be involved in that. But sorry, just the net is being a tad slow. But $24.95, that's a steal. That is an absolute steal.
And Ring of Honor is smart. SMRT smart. Their pay-per-view is airing on June 22nd. They made sure they weren't going to have to deal with going up against Payback on the 1st. Or Money in the Bank on the 29th. Because we all know that TNA would put their pay-per-views on the same Sunday.
Oh, yes.
And personally, they would try to go up against Money in the Bank.
And fail miserably.
Yes, it'd be worse than the Monday Night Tussle.
skirmish.
Monday night Vince chasing the kids off the lawn with a stick.
Seriously. There's a reason why Hunter and Sean corrected the title about War and Wars. Because that second one wasn't a war. That was a squash.
That was a Monday night fracas.
It was barely a fight, man. That's, you know, Biggie Collie Colin Delaney kind of crap.
Right, and again, some of the people involved: Matt Hardy, Kevin Steen, Briscoe Brothers, World Champion Adam Cole, Unbreakable Michael Elgin, Jay Lethal, Maria Kanellis, and others. And you got people like Tommaso Ciampa in there. You've got a bunch of young and up-and-comers, and you know they are going to put this balls-to-the-wall pay-per-view together and make it work.
And the Best in the World Tournament show is probably one of the better shows that Ring of Honor does. I have attended one in person, and this is how long ago it was. Claudio, Hero, Delirious, Sydal, what's his name? There were a couple other names that were there. I almost ended up with Delirious and Sydal in my lap, and they don't allow you to take the wrestlers home with you.
There you go.
Darn it. Anyway. But no, trust me, I had a blast at this show. So, but this is one of their better shows. It's kind of a King of the Ring deal, and worth every penny if you can get to one. I'd pick up a DVD of any of them in the past few years.
Right, and also this is coming out of Nashville at the fairgrounds as well. This is where they're from.
So they're gonna have a hell of a crowd.
They're gonna have a hell of a crowd. This is gonna be awesome.
That was TNA's old stomping grounds, wasn't it?
Yep.
And so somebody also let Brian Henniger know so that he can go. Mm. I hate to bring the mood down, but I'm going to do this as a service to a fellow worker. Luke Hawks, who has come up to the Minneapolis area a couple of times to work for Heavy on Wrestling, has had a couple of looks from the Fed, is one of the nicest guys you could ever meet, decided that he had to walk away from Extreme Rising. And there's been a little bit of talk, a little bit of social media squabbling. So Mr. Hawks decided to go officially on the record and explain why he is no longer with the company. Now, granted, this is one side of the story, but I've met Luke, and we all know promoters. So allow me to read you this. I'm not even going to call it a tirade. It's just all too common on the independent scene. And I quote, just to clear up any rumors on why I decided to quit Extreme Rising. Number one, I said in an interview with Mike Johnson on PW Insider when the company started back up that if there was any problems backstage with pay, not just for me, but any wrestlers or canceled shows, that I would leave the company. Number two, there have been multiple times so far where the majority of talent and others like security, etc., have been shorted on money, trans, and have been unbooked last minute. Number three, shows have been canceled last minute several times, which cost me a lot of money from other bookings I was offered, like overseas, movie bookings, and wrestling bookings here in the States. I've probably lost out on well over 10 grand because of Steve O'Neill's bad business. That is the only time I'm going to use this promoter's name, because I do not promote bad promoters. He has lied over and over to Talent and others about multiple things and has been caught in many of these lies. He recently tried to pull bullshit with RF Video and lie to them about not having them at the shows because another vendor didn't want them there. When they asked the other vendor, emails were shown that it was just him trying to manipulate this. And yes, I read every email. That was number four on the list, by the way. Number five. This guy never returns phone calls or texts about important things like travel and show info. He just doesn't respond because he feels he doesn't need to. So Talent, like myself, wonders if the shows are even happening or will they get canceled. We're a week out on a show that's been booked for over 3 months and no one has travel or been told anything about it. Oh, but he can get on social media several times a day and argue with fans. Number six, he hasn't refunded the fans for past shows that were canceled. He can't tell us where the money's gone. He hasn't paid the Talent what they were owed from past events. Oh, and get this. As a promoter, he feels, and he's done this several times, he can pay Talent what he feels they are worth after a show after they've agreed upon a price. He has shorted many guys due to low attendance or they didn't have a good spot on the show or whatever. So my question is, where's all the money gone? My answer, he's been living off of it because he doesn't have a real job. So fans and wrestlers that are owed money, your money has been used by this guy to pay his own bills or whatever he sees fit. That's a shame. Number seven. He doesn't know how to talk to Talent or treat his Talent. He thinks you should do what he says or thinks, and that's that. And I'm not talking about booking-wise. Look at some pics. He's got some screen caps on his phone. He had a crazy idea to me to pass out flyers for him in New Orleans during Mania Week. I was promoting 10 other shows and working on 13 of them. Number eight, one of my biggest aggravations is that my students were booked for the last show. They wanted the opportunity to wrestle at the arena, so they bought their own flights to Philly because they believed they were getting a big opportunity. I had to call them the day before to let them know that the shows were canceled. Not only did it break their hearts, and that upset me, but they'd lost out on their money they spent on the flights and hotels for that weekend. Because, oh, by the way, it is, you know, off the record, you know, stepping out of this for a second, it's cheaper to buy a non-refundable flight, so you know what these guys did. My guys work very hard, and so to see them get screwed over and have them let down like this just kills me on the inside. I could go on and on for this for days, but I think this is enough. Sorry to the fans who wanted to see me next week. I cannot put myself in a position to be screwed again by this company, and I ask that they stop promoting me immediately. They are also falsely promoting Sabu as he's booked in Pittsburgh on the same dates, and it's been confirmed that Sabu will be in Pittsburgh. Just another example of a promoter lying to fans to try to lace his own pockets. I want to thank all of those who have supported me during my time at Extreme Rising, and I can promise you, you have not seen the last of the Southern Stomper. So, as of right now, per WrestleChat.net, it looks like the relationship between Extreme Rising and Luke Hawks is done for good.
Oh, yeah.
I think I have a sound for that.
Well, duh.
Yeah, that promoter just sounds like an asshole, pretty much.
Well, see, that's the problem. More promoters are like this. Why can't we have more promoters like Johnny Bad Wheels? My boy from Michigan Championship Wrestling, who's been on this show more than once, is nothing but enthusiasm, positivity, and runs off the batteries on his wheelchair. This is a guy who should... I want Johnny Bad Wheels to go find this other promoter and run him over.
And unfortunately, Johnny Bad Wheels is the exception, not the rule. Unfortunately.
I know, and it kills me.
And that's why if you want to check out a really fantastic movie about independent wrestling, and yes, it's the wrestler I'm talking about here. Darren Aronofsky directed this movie. This is the one with Mickey Rourke playing, Randy the Ram. And there are so many scenes in this movie that gets it right. And it's sad. It's horrible. Because indie wrestling people do not make money off of their stuff. The good ones do, but most don't, unfortunately.
Right, and it's hard. I mean, a lot of these guys have to have real jobs, and they have to have some really forgiving jobs to try to get out there, to try to get their faces out there when it comes to the wrestling business. It's very difficult. Most of the guys that I know who wrestle cannot make a living on it. And to be honest, I've never made a living on it myself. And it makes me sad that these guys are chasing a dream that can't put groceries on their table, barely puts gas in their cars. And some of them will drive 200-400 miles to wrestle in a VFW hall in front of 30 people for the food.
You ain't kidding.
It's a sad state of affairs that there really isn't good employment at the independent level.
Which is why that independent network we were talking about a couple of months ago is incredibly important, that it may eventually lead to the extinction of those type of people.
Well, the thing is that one of the things that I like that's out there right now, as we've come up to the anniversary of the opening of the Performance Center. The Performance Center is pretty much going to be, is at least now a more reachable goal for independent talent than just looking at the Fed, because the Fed, there's only so much room. At least with the Performance Center, they have a chance of getting a look, because there's actually going to be people there who have time to give you a look.
And again, we've talked about it before, the seven rings, the Wi-Fi to Stanford, the studio, the Full Sail, association with Full Sail, things like that. You know, what more can we say?
Exactly. And, you know, I don't want, you know, the independent scene cannot completely die. But by God, we've got some rotten branches and roots that we need to get rid of.
Yes.
And, you know, let's see. Oh, do you want me to read those screen caps? The convos between Luke and the idiot?
Yeah, why not? Go for it. I mean, you know, if you want to throw this douche under the bus, throw it. Let's do it.
Okay. So, yeah, this guy gets a hold of Luke and says, hey, could you and your boys get 5K flyers out for me during Mania weekend? Just something you could do for ER. Luke says, no chance. I'm slammed as hell. I got too much on my plate. None of you guys could get this done for us. They're all on shows all week long, from Thursday to Tuesday. My whole crew is booked between Ring of Honor, Dragon Gate, and WrestleCon. We have 13 shows, not to mention all of us are booked for WWE Sunday through Tuesday. Awesome.
That's also, by the way, his company is Wildcat Wrestling, for those who are not.
Yeah.
Just to let you know. It's a great school, from what I've been told.
Best I could do is have them on my table at WrestleCon. Oh, I'm going to have to remember this one. So you're telling me that your guys are not available and are booked 24 hours a day from Thursday to Sunday. That was not graced with a response. Instead, he tries to change the subject. So what's up with flights? Since he doesn't get an answer, in fact, he waited 3 days for an answer. So no response on my flight. If you don't book Southwest, then I'm going to need you to cover a bag departing and returning. There's no way I can do three events with just a carry-on. That's where the screenshot stops. So I'm guessing he didn't get a response on that either.
Mm-hmm.
So Luke, brother, you get a hold of Heavy and you get your butt back up to Minnesota. We'll take care of you. And Heavy, don't get mad at me for trying to help you get a guy to come up and work for you. I don't think I have anything else.
Yeah, I think that was the bad news.
Oh, trust me, that was the bad news.
Okay, yeah. Just make it sure.
Yeah, that was the bad news, yeah.
The moral of the story, Chris, is something that Jason had just said earlier. In the independent scene, I have some very bad news. Most of the promoters that you will work with are going to pull this kind of crap on you.
Right.
So,
it makes me wonder, though, if the upcoming promotion that's coming up will have situations like this, even though they have someone with more experience in behind the reins.
Jarrett, I don't think would pull that kind of crap if he can help it.
Let's hope not.
Let's hope not. Because I wouldn't mind working for him either. I've had the honor of meeting Jarrett. You know, he's a good talker. I don't think he's all that bad in the ring. He probably shouldn't have been at the top as much as he was in TNA, but hey, it was his promotion.
Exactly.
And
it's not like there wasn't precedent with when you own a promotion to make yourself the top star for a long time anyway. Like, both a current two Hall of Famers have done that in the past in Jerry Lawler and Carlos Colon.
Well, I wasn't...
Yeah, him too.
I was getting ready to bring up Gagne. But... You know, granted, there's precedent, but that doesn't mean you do it. But I don't think Jared will do it this time. I mean, he's older, he's wiser, he's got a decent financial backer, and I have the respect to call Toby Keith a financial backer and not a money mark. Panda yeah. Energy is a freaking money mark, and even that's getting sour. So. You know, best of luck to Jarrett's group. Best of luck to that coalition, which I haven't heard anything lately, so I'm hoping that's they're quietly getting their act together. And I think I'm gonna go ahead and call it a show because it's been a week. Let's just put it that way. It has been a week. Jason, you probably have the most to promote.
Yes, and I will promote for Jim. We just recorded our first in-season edition of Touch 'Em All our baseball podcast. We talked about a bunch of stuff, including the hot start for the Milwaukee Brewers, how instant replay really hasn't been as perfect as the MLB has promoted, and another Sterling example of John Sterling and other stuff. Brian and I are going to record another episode of Pixel Nation this weekend, we hope. Ethan hopefully will be doing, depending on your Easter plans, maybe another Red State, Blue State this weekend, maybe.
Oh, definitely. I'm working all weekend. I got nothing going on for the Easter. Let's do it.
All right, that's cool. We're gonna do stuff like that. I have to do some research. Ethan, if you could do that as well, that'd be great. And that's pretty much it. Oh, and of course, Ethan, you and I want to promote something as well about the game show marathon coming up next month.
Yes, the one with Corey and Christian, correct?
That is correct. Yeah, not yours.
Ours is going to be later on. Yes, the wonderful folks on the East Coast, Coriana Tato, Christian Carrion, are putting together their third annual, I believe.
I believe it is, yes.
Yeah, the third annual 24-hour game show marathon. They are doing all of this for a wonderful charity, 24 hours of nonstop game show fun. I'm going to see if I can get myself a participant factor in that, because I'd love to play a game with them. Have a little West Coast, East Coast gang war going on, you know?
Right, exactly. And what they want to do is that they are raising money for this year for the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, I believe is what they are doing. And it is going to be the weekend of May 17th. And there is a donation page, but if you go to facebook.com/24hourGSM, that's 24hourGSM, you could promote that. So there you go.
Okay, and Ethan, did you have anything else to promote? Or?
Well, that's kind of we were kind of going halvesies on that one with Jason, so we're good with that.
Okay. Forrest, do you have anything to promote? We had Typho on the show last week, and it just didn't help.
Yeah, I'll try again this Tuesday if I can. I wish I could promote the BRM show, but I think he's on another hiatus right now, so.
And I really don't have anything to promote. Hi. Oh, hi, Chris.
Hi. How can you miss the 300-pound bald guy sitting there? My site is not updated because I had some technical difficulties with my camera. It will be updated, if not this week, then the following week to start May off, because I'm tired of not having anything to update it with. So I have a couple of things planned. One is a little bit of a minor rant for in a Pixel Nation kind of mini plug in relation to some reactions to something that happened with Nintendo recently with a certain character they have. I also have a couple of shows planned. My site is mrcmwaters.blogspot.com, Watersfall Industries. I will have it updated by May 1st, guaranteed.
And I don't have anything to promote.
Bullshit.
Honestly. The voice from the heavens tells me otherwise. The North American Wrestling Connection will be doing an exclusive at the Guardrail, as we're going to grill the hell out of Carl about his trip to WrestleMania, because we've been wanting to do that since the Monday after WrestleMania.
Yeah, if real life can stop getting in my way, I will.
We love you, Carl. We really do.
Even if the rest of the world doesn't.
That's pretty accurate. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
So, however, I do want to extend a thank you, Carl, for at least attempting to try to get me some merch at Mania.
Yeah, mental note to self. The next time a big event comes near me, go the first day of access. And not the last.
I still ended up with a little bit of swag. I had another another friend who was down there who got me the Daniel Bryan Triple H shirt and a Shield hoodie, because not only do I believe in the Shield, I will support the Shield. Because Dean Ambrose is a crazy bastard who deserves your respect.
You ain't kidding.
And he is not. He is not a pony.
No.
No.
Runs is a Pegasus.
Yes, he is. Good Lord. His aerial work, he has to be a Pegasus.
It must be heartwarming weekend, except instead of Easter.
Wait a minute. Do ponies do Easter?
Not officially yet.
Okay.
That's probably the bunny census.
And cue Jim throwing stuff at his computer in 3.
Oh, boy. We have off the train. We have just crashed the train right now.
He wants
right
to go
now.
Grab a drink.
Oh.
Honey.
Let's get out of here.
All right. For Hi Muckamuck, for Jason Block, for Chris Waters, for Fourth, for Ethan Muslin, my name is Nikki Heyman. And for all of these gentlemen and all the other ponies listening out there, you have been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Everybody hang in there, because sometimes real life sucks, and...
Stay pony, my friends.
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.